So for rivers, which have not really been understood in the spiritual and cultural sense, at least e-flows gives you that one margin to understand them in that sense, I think, which is a good opportunity considering what you said, there is no pre-dam data available to understand the rivers, especially as social entities or living entities. As far as connecting e-flows to free flows in rivers, like what we see in this particular region in the northeastern part of India, is also that this, if this particular BBM methodology can be modified and taken up by activists, large number of who are present here, to at least capture the knowledge that people have relating to rivers in this region, I think this is a very, very good tool wherein this knowledge can be captured. Once this knowledge is captured, it's documented, there is a database, quantified, qualified, however it may or may not be, there is a very, very strong potential to counter any structural intrusions which may come into the river and which is very likely. So I think this offers a very good platform for social scientists and a lot of interdisciplinary people, including activists, to actually translate their work into words and then use it as a very, very strong tool to counter the forces that may be. Thank you.
Add to what you're saying. Maybe if you remember in 2009, we had held one e-flows workshop in Bangalore.
Yes.
At that time, I still remember you had suggested the same thing.
Yes.
That what we need is a documentation of how people's dependence on rivers. I think it is still holds relevance.
Yes, yes.
And that's something which I was just saying the same thing to Neeraj informally earlier, that Northeast is the best place. We don't have anywhere in India where people's knowledge, not only knowledge, how they are depending on the river, their wisdom about the river, stories about the river, whatever it has been, somebody has documented it and done the research. I think it's a good opportunity for this platform. If we can, at least the social, cultural and spiritual things. The ecological, if it comes as a bonus, I look at it as a bonus. So I think that's something which, if you all agree, we can have a common minimum thing which we can do.
Yeah, our approach has to be like, covering all the states, like all 8 states in Northeast. I don't know how far it will be feasible in Sikkim because it's
the
all gone.
River, I think, better, no?
It's all gone. Maybe Arunachal, the 3 major rivers like Dibang, Subansiri and Siang, 3 should be taken up, 3 studies. And then maybe some in Manipur, some in Nagaland, Tripura. What exactly is happening in Dumur river, Dumur dam and the river. So that will be a unique example and study of Dumur, where Paramita and Mr. Deep is there. So these people can conduct that study for a longer period of time. I believe that. So the approach has to be, we have to identify first pristine river which has not been disturbed yet, no activity has taken place yet, and then see how free flow has influenced people's life for centuries and how free flow is respected. And then we also take a case study of Ranganadi river also, Dikram. That what exactly is happening in upstream and what exactly is happening in downstream, and where does this e-flow advocacy fits in. So this is what we thought in Bangalore, na Lata. So that I think we same approach we can take forward here. But of course still Northeast is the only region in the country where still 90% of rivers are flowing free. So the free flow is more than 95%, and we cannot lose it. This is time that we must act on it. And our university, one thing that maybe international river can approach the university's water sector department to take up PhDs on free flow concept. Maybe 4 or 5 universities we have, and 5 PhDs should be taken up. So, it will be established internationally that free flow is a concept. And free flow is thought in Northeast, and Northeastern indigenous people have really realized that how free flow has given us love and affection and life and livelihood. So that concept has to be established. It's not that free flow is just simple thing. We have to establish it that free flow is humanistic. And free flow is only humanistic. Other than free flow, nothing is humanistic. That we have to establish through universities. It's not that Rabindranath is saying and it will be taken up. It has to be endorsed by the universities. Yeah.
I was thinking we haven't reached F. We are doing with E. F will come later.
Yes.
But E flow. I was thinking that the thing that I was thinking in the presentation was, how does it incorporate in the in institutional mechanism, existing policy? I think it sounds more a positive progression of policy, environmental policy. But we do, of course, have our own doubts about it. But how does it play out in terms? So, like, we have DPR, EIA, EMP. You have a public hearing, and then it gets clear. How does E-flow, if as Neeraj was saying, it's already being done, it's being passed to do it, incorporate E-flow into existing environmental governance, how does it play out? And that's something that we need to know, because see, for now, we all know that we just don't believe the EIAs, we don't believe the EMPs, we don't believe the public hearing system. And we have ensured that no public hearing takes place anywhere, though they managed to do some of them. But we have fought this time the Siang, burning, and this has happened in many other dams because we don't believe in that existing system. How does E-flow come in the picture? Do they want us to believe the process much better so that because it takes many things into account? So I don't know if you can kind of give some clarity on that, and how then we can talk about the civil society groups.
That issue, which, I mean, I don't have an answer to it. I was just telling you where it is located currently in the institutional framework. In the official clearance, it's located right exactly where EIA and all are located. That consultant hired by the company is doing. So, I mean, that's where, the kind of input which Arpita did or Ravi did or something where, is it something that not as part of the official clearance process, which anyway one has to keep on hammering at, that this should be part of, I mean, of course, where people are willing to be part of the public consultation, but how have you arrived that this, he has left, no, Suresh has left, like Suresh, one of the critiques they did of the Lohit River Basin study is that the methodology itself requires stakeholder consultation, but there is no stakeholder consultation. So actually, in a sense, you need to consult the people who are using completely alternative institutional framework, unless we just use the concepts and do our own studies, which I think is a good idea, rather than and simultaneously sort of hit at the main framework to be more democratic. But otherwise, right now, it is going to be, in the foreseeable future, going to be done by the companies.
I have two things that are coming to my mind. One is that some people here talking about, including Ravi, talking about using this particular concept of, say, going to an untouched river and doing a study and getting understanding. But when this system is being used by the dam builder, for example, then we are against it. That's a kind of two messages I'm getting. So that is a bit sorry now.
Just add one small thing. See, what Ravi is saying, it need not fall under the umbrella of necessarily, he didn't say e-flow. You're saying, he's saying that a river in its free-flowing state, what is the livelihood dependence and what are the services it provides to people and the ecological benefits and all that. So it does not necessarily need to fit into within an umbrella of e-flow. It's how is a natural river, what is people's dependence, connection?
Value of a natural river.
Yeah, how is it valuable? That's what he's saying. So that you have your own baseline that when they want to intervene, and this is what she also spoke about, then you say, but this is what we have done through our own study. So that doesn't need, I feel you can completely avoid the term e-flow in that.
Yeah.
Because in a free-flowing river, you don't need to then, though conceptually, yes, if you're going to intervene on it, you can talk about it, but what he's saying, you don't necessarily need to discuss it in that framework.
Or we can always do one thing through universities. A comparative analysis of e-flow and free-flow and see the benefits and the damages. The rivers which has adopted e-flow has damaged so much of livelihood and lives, and the free-flow rivers have this status. I mean, those kind of things to put our position strong, we can always get it done through our universities. So the whole idea is we cannot buy this concept that you judge through a mathematical parameter of a natural flowing river's characteristic, and then you put your thumb over there that yes, this much of environmental maintenance is all right for human being, and this much is little extra greater environmental health, or this is below standard environmental. You cannot set a parameter for nature. Nature is nature. There cannot be any unit fixed to it. We must respect it. So the whole idea is to defeat e-flow concept or any measurable environmental concept. To defeat that, we have to establish free-flow benefits and free-flow respect of people towards free-flow. That is very important. I mean, this is not for academic interest only, but it is larger humanistic approach. I mean, otherwise the whole thing will finish. You see, pristine rivers we have. Nothing has touched it till now. Still, it is not delayed. Everything is in pipe. Now, dam building forcefully is what we are expecting. Forceful dam building exercise by Government of India, which till today we are registering, and in future we will be registering. So no question of e-flow comes in our history of fight. We cannot accept this terminology e-flow because we are fighting the whole thing. We are not accepting the dam, so we cannot accept e-flow. We have free flow, we are fighting for free flow, and we keep fighting for free flow.
But see, Mr. Ravindran, that is free flow has historically not sustained.
No.
You see, today, yes, we are all supporting them, our reversion free flow. But if you see the history of economics, it is first we have the mercantilist, interference was there. We jumped to physiocrats, natural flow. Nobody stopped it. Man stopped it, says we want capitalist, we want classical. Less things grow by themselves. Came the capitalist. Then we follow the mixed economy. See what we are doing. This is the change pattern that has been historically established. So in such a circumstances, maybe today we are supporting it, we are all saying that yes, free flow will continue. But tomorrow, we people, if you suppose, take for a simple example, a big industry has taken place somewhere, and those people who are the sufferers, they are totally shifted to the other place, then what happens to our river? Because this has happened, this has been established facts. But as of now, what I don't care about what the e-flow or free flow, whatever it is, but we need a study for our rivers. That is most and foremost important. That has to be done. And what is stored for the future, we don't know. Again, you uttered a very important thing, that roads, rose by process of developments are for carrying the turbines. I don't agree with this. Because turbines were earlier done, there was no roads. The tea industry carried the turbines all from Kolkata up to Dibrugarh via the river, via the river system. So industrialist finds out one way or the other way to carry things.
No, you see,
so what I mean to say is that what we are saying this today, we have to say it on behalf of our future, so that something is left for the future.
I will tell you,
Ravi, if we can have a few more information. Samir, then Lata, then Parko.
Okay, I'm going to step one step back to Ram, your question on...
Sorry, would you please use the mic, speaker?
Sorry. I'm going to step one step back to your institutional, so just to, so that you have an idea. At the ministry, okay, we've got all these cumulative impact studies, which they are misnaming it and calling them basin studies. They are not basin studies, because basin studies are a lot wider in their terms of their fields. All the figures have come up in e-flows or whatever, but so far nothing has happened with them post that. Now, the ministry had sometime back called for comments on the cumulative impact assessment, CIA reports. The thought that comes to my mind, which is for you, which I'm just putting across to all your activist friends who are saying no to bans, is that when they come up with such reports and say that X or Y is the e-flow figure, based on our presentations this morning, some of the questions which you could raise, because this is a way of again questioning them and stopping them, because the CIA process does not have a public hearing process, right? So then the only time you can respond to a CIA is when they put it up on the website and ask for comments. So three things that I jotted on with was, when they're doing that, what is the class of river which they have taken the river as, okay? And you could question them if, let's say, like for example, if you were at class D, when it should have been class A. That's one you could question on. Objective of the e-flow study. And what was the objective? How, because those are all the things you're going to ultimately reach to arriving at the figure. And the third was, with whose involvement did you decide the objective? Because we sitting here were not consulted. Hence, we reject your e-flows. So tomorrow, I mean, if this, I'm just giving, thinking from an activist perspective and saying this is ammunition for you when you think of how to use today's workshop to arm yourself. I told you, it's for you to decide. I mean, I've been, okay, off late, I've not been an activist, but I was at one time an activist, hardcore activist. Okay, I've, fair enough, whatever reason, moved out of that today. So, my only thing is that use this not just to say that, okay, we want, yeah, e-flows has come and we are opposing e-flows. But also use e-flows to arm yourself. Okay, so that's the short point which I wanted to make.
I think, Ravi, to your aspect on free flowing, but the fundamental question, the practical question that I would like to raise, not only before Ravi, is actually now already there are rivers in the northeast which are dammed, okay?
Yes.
And where there is degradation already happening. This is an argument long back which we had taken up with Ramaswamy Iyer. Ramaswamy Iyer used to say, who are we? We tamper with nature. I agree with him. And I also believe that in nature, maybe we are all, I am a Luddite at heart, maybe, whatever it is. But then, when it comes down to the practicalities of it, in a dammed river, because I am talking about the experience of working in the river which I have been working for the last 15 years. In a dammed river, also flows have been tampered with. There are problems in the downstream. What do you do with it? There, e-flows is a good strategy. It's a strategy. But you are, as you are telling, we have to find our own term, how we define it, how we use it with the government, or with the MOEF, or with whoever it is, who is not our concern. That's up to us, that's our challenge. But I think for degraded rivers, we also have a responsibility of telling them how to restore it.
And one restoration strategy is allowing more flows for different purposes for which which are needed by the river. So that's one counter argument I would like to raise over here. So I think, like Neeraj is saying, to dam rivers, at least downstream, what can be done? That's something I think we should very seriously think about. And secondly, regarding this free flow, according to me, like Sanjita was earlier, Sanjita was saying, you were also saying about it, I totally agree with you. The problems faced by rivers are not only dams. There are land use changes, like you're talking infrastructure, tourism, mining, and deforestation is the first culprit. In Western Ghats also, the same list I can give you, same list. Starting from deforestation, infrastructure, highway, express highway, this, that, everything is coming up in the Western Ghats. And that was equally killing the flows, recharge. So according to me, if we are saying free flow, we should have to find out a river which has none of the interventions, which I don't think is possible.
No,
I'm telling you, I don't know. No,
we have many.
If we have that, then that's a good showcase.
Many, not one.
Then nothing
one
has happened.
Many, nothing has happened.
Because the tributaries maybe, not main river.
Major tributaries.
I don't think main rivers would have. Like
Yamgo, like
Sio. I'm asking you because I don't know.
There are many.
Yeah.
Many big tributaries.
Okay, maybe with human dependence.
Yes.
Yeah, that's very good. Then we have to do it because I know that Western Ghats are not in a single river.
And hundred of kilometers long.
Okay.
So that is.
So I think when we say free flowing, we also should be qualified ourselves that what is free flowing.
No, you say for example, big example, Siang is a free flow. Up to now. Dibang is a free flow up to now.
See, but you mean the catchment of Dibang and Siang has not been touched by human beings?
No.
I don't think so.
You see, catchment.
I'm talking about that perspective, Dhiravi. I think
no,
we have
no,
to.
We still, we will.
But Siang, yes,
yeah.
In the China.
Yes. We have some river, but it's still resting.
No, I'm not arguing.
Yeah, yeah, just
on
Bhai. Patho's company.
Very quickly, I'm trying to put across my view, and I think this entire discussion about the inflows, accepting inflow as a part of the discourse, or as a concept or not, takes me to back to the years around 2002-03. I remember many of our friends who were in the forefront of resisting large dams in India, almost divided into two groups. One was, the division was not very serious. One was talking about EIS, having critiquing EIS, and bringing out the faults in EIS, and then engaging with the institutions and the judiciary to compare the companies to come out with good EIS in the whole thing, through good EIS, probably some of the projects could be filtered out. Then there were other people who rejected the idea of discussing about EIS because they thought that we are not going to accept any of these projects, any of these dams, so there is nothing being discussing about EIS. But then that continued for some time, but then the relevance of examining EIS and critiquing EIS and accepting EIS as a tool for engaging with the companies as well as the government, the relevance of that exercise actually remained. And if I can draw your attention to some of the very recent developments that has been achieved in the courts, especially in the environmental crime tribunals, my friend Neeraj and friends like Ritik Dutta who were fighting several cases in joint tribunals have come out with very significant judgments from the courts, only by virtue of engaging with the courts and on the basis of their very critical analysis of these EIS as well as other government documents and others. So, when it comes to the judicial fight, this approach sometimes is very, very useful. I mean, even though there are many other people who still think that when you talk about EIS, when we have already rejected 10 years back all the dams, and we borrowed actually not to make any of the dams come. But then, my personal experience of water rights activists and working on the research front has probably, you know, I have learned, you know, many things out of that. My greatest learning is, you know, that people should probably be, you know, a little bit more realistic right now. Because this doesn't, mean that I have lost that kind of enthusiasm that used to be with most of us once upon a time. It's not like that. But looking at the present situation where EIA as well as, you know, the concept of info has become a part and parcel of most of the discourses, both at the scientific level, believe me, at the scientific level, there are many, many scientists doing that, engaging themselves, you know, in developing these concepts. And as well as the official, you know, basically accepting this as a tool for decision making, I think it will be a very impractical idea to reject this concept, you know, in total, as something that we should never engage with. That is my personal thought. I may differ from others. And but I would also, in certain conditions, say that if we really do that, it will be almost like, you know, escaping from the responsibility of engaging with something which is very, very important, which actually demands a lot of our time and energy and resources. Having said that, this was sharing my personal thought with all of you. I will respond to Ravindranath's advocacy for freely flowing rivers, which is also not new, it's very old, and many people at heart, like Mrinal has commented, at heart, we all probably would like all the rivers to flow freely. But again, I would call upon you to be a little more realistic, more pragmatic, and really examine whether it's really possible. Let me ask you, Ravindranath, when you say that all rivers should flow freely, do you really, don't you also mean that all those embankments on Brahmaputra and these tributaries need to be decommissioned? Isn't it the embankments more than the dams who actually constrain the river into flowing through a very constricted channel? That has been the most important criticism against embankments all throughout the world. No? In Bihar, Dinesh Mishra and all his school members, all people who belong to his school of thought, talks about freely flowing rivers in terms of decommissioning of all the embankments. Now, can we do that in Assam? Ravindranath, we cannot. Can you ask your Dhimachal people to do that? We cannot. The time has not come. We have to make the people aware. That is another exercise about the, you know, long-term and short-term need of fixed amendments. Then only probably the situation will come when we probably, you know, can ask them to think about. In Bihar it is there because they have been fighting for us 50 years. They can ask the community to raise their voice against amendments. Can we do that in our villages? We will be driven out, we will be beaten up. Let me tell you. So, it's very easy and very ideal. I agree to you, ideally. All three flowing rivers are in pristine condition. But then, why difference between them and the embankment? Embankments have happened, we have been able to embankments for 20 years. Dams have just come. So, let's try to be a little bit more pragmatic and see that it might still be useful to, you know, learn from contemporary developments, a little bit more liberal, a little bit more receptive to what others are saying, what others are doing. And with that hope, I think, I hope that this house will attitude some kind of, having some kind of engagement in short and long term, if not only consensus. I'm sure that it's not very easy to come to consensus in the very first attempt that we have taken. So that's all. Thank you very much.
I have a point here.
Yeah.
When we know embankments are bad, and when we know free flow is good, to be pragmatic, do you think that we should advocate about intermediary standard of our natural resources? And intermediary standard means this e-flow. It is not the natural standard. It's a path which has been chosen as the intermediate solution. Now, it doesn't mean that being a conscious activist and citizen of this country, we say that we let us make new embankment. No. At the same time, you are right that we cannot demolish all the embankment, because those embankments have become, it has lot of complication. I don't want to go into detail. But it doesn't mean that we advocate in favor of embankment ever in our life. No. And it doesn't mean that we accept an intermediary solution. We have to be, at least this house, those who are sensitive and being called in this meeting. We are called in this meeting because we think about it. And we cannot accept any intermediary solution for our natural resources. It has to be a primary characteristic of employing people. No secondary characteristic. That at least should be our stand. I know there will be pragmatic steps. There will be lot of tamasha around us. There will be lot of promoters and funding for e-flow. There will be lot of people doing e-flow. It doesn't mean we bow down and accept e-flow. We will not and never. But it will happen. That also we know. It doesn't mean that we swallow the poison. We swallow the concept. And we accept the concept and agree to it. No, never. We will reject whole life. We will fight till then, but we will not accept it. But it will happen. Let it happen. We keep fighting. Similarly, we cannot agree to a new embankment, but government will make. Government is making. In 34 places, latest news before 3 days, 34 places embankments are opened this year. This year, 3 days back, this is the latest. And government will again make new over there. Bahir phale banabo. Bahir phale notun concert, funny funny, bahir phale banabo. So, the END department, bahir phale banabo. And these are all political, because MLA's vote bank is there, and we cannot stop it. It doesn't mean we agree to it.
Sir, I think these are all economic gamblings.
No, it is political, not only economical. It is first, it is corporate interest, and then it is political. You have to understand this way.